So it's great to be here today. As Lane said, I'm Pastor Mike. I'm from Gospel Lighthouse Church down in Hudson Falls. Right now we're kind of a packed church. So we are teaming up with Pastor Bill to help you guys grow and, you know, to do different things. And it's been a great time. I love working with Pastor Bill. We've been together for a few years now, and he's just a great man. And I enjoy talking with him and being with him, and it's a blessing to be here today to be able to speak to you guys. I hope that he's having a lot of fun down in Puerto Rico, I believe. He might be on the beach right now. Who knows? He's missing all this great weather, so pray for him that he doesn't miss it too much. So this morning, Pastor Bill gave me a portion of scripture to read, and I'm going to be talking today about anger. How many of you guys are angry? Okay, a few of you have little anger issues. That's cool. I was real angry this morning, and this is the time of year where I just hate losing an hour of sleep. I don't know about you guys, but it just drives me nuts. I'll sit here all day, and I'll be like, all right, it's really 9:30. It's 9:30 right now. And I'll go through the whole day. This is like a whole week long. I'll always kind of subtract an hour and be like, wow, it should be this time. Wow. It should be. I shouldn't be going to bed right now. You know, I should be, you know, I do it all the time. And, it's something that I hate doing. Daylight savings time isn't my favorite time of the year, but it's whatever. So it's what we do. So anger is something every one of us deals with in one way or another. And we all deal with it in different ways. Some of us scream. Some of us hold it in and we're quiet and we scream on the inside. Some get it in their, you know, up in people's faces. You know, some give people the silent treatment. But everyone gets angry. I heard one couple's discussion. The husband said, "Honey, I'm so sorry that I let out my anger at you so often. How do you manage to keep so calm when I fly off the handle?" And she replied, "I always go and clean the toilet when I'm angry with you." And he said, "Well, why does that make you feel better?" She says, "Well, I clean it with a toothbrush." So, you know, we all deal with anger in different ways. So someone once said, when you let anger get the best of you, it brings out the worst in you. So, you know, anger is something that is definitely a real issue with everybody. But, you know, we need to realize that no one's immune from it. You know, we all get angry. Everyone gets angry. But the question is, what do we do with it? You know, is it possible to be a Christian and still get angry? You know, how can we honor Jesus in our anger? So I want to say at the onset today that there are likely some people among us who are in serious need of an anger kind of makeover. You know, we need to, you know, look at the way that we get angry and realize that we need to change. I must confess that anger really is not my Achilles heel in life. If any of you guys know me, I'm a pretty chill guy. You know, nothing really bothers me too often. It drives Vicky, Pastor Vicky, my wife, nuts. She's always like, "Why aren't you angry?" She just wishes that I was angry at some points, and she wants me to just like jump on the bandwagon sometimes and just get angry together. But that's just not who I am. You know, I know what anger can cause. I've seen a lot of anger in my life. And I know that there are better ways to deal with things. For some of you, anger has been the hardest thing for you to deal with in your life. Some of you have likely done so successfully, and some of you, not so much. So I want you to know that I want to speak about anger with compassion today, because I know that many of you, you know, have struggled with this monster for a long time, and it is not easy to deal with when you do struggle with it. For some, you know, their experience with anger has been one of failure as they've seen anger get the best of them time and time again, destroying relationships, you know, really wounding people, and it just takes away our righteousness with God. What you won't hear me say today is that dealing with anger is easy. You know, you will not hear that from me today. And that, you know, I'm not going to tell you there's a magic pill that's going to cure it all. You know, I've known too long that that's just not the way it is. I've been at Hudson Falls Gospel House Church now for 6.5 years as the executive pastor. Before that, I was in Ossining, New York. How many of you guys know where Ossining is? It's like 3 hours, well, from here, maybe like 4 hours south of here. It's where the famous Sing Sing prison is, if you ever heard about it. So it's not very big, honestly. But I was there for 6 years as a youth pastor. And I think I've learned the most about anger in my days there. There was this one kid. It was just the angriest kid you would ever meet. He just, every time you saw him, he was just scowling his face, just super angry. And, you know, I've always talked to him, be like, why are you so angry? Like, you all right? Like, what's going on? And he's one of those kids that's like, he could have just won $1 million in the lottery, and he'd be angry about it. And he'd be like, well, you just won $1 million. He'd be like, well, now I got to pay taxes on it. And now I got to do this. And he would always just be, he would always find the negative in everything. And I would sit down with him all the time and talk with him. I'd drive him home from youth group, and I'd sit in the car, and we would chat in front of his house. And, you know, I've always tried to get to that root of the anger with him, but we just never really could, honestly. But I think, you know, when I look back now in God's divine, you know, teaching moments, I look at that relationship, and I've learned over time that anger isn't just a cut dry situation. It's not a, hey, this is what you got to do when it's over with. You know, I've learned from this team that, you know, anger is something that people deal with, and it's not always the easiest thing to grow through. And that's why you won't hear me say, you know, I got all your curves today. I'm just going to preach it to you and give you the answers. You know, it's just not the way it is. You know, anger is something that will affect us all and affect us all differently. And there's no, you know, it's set, you know, prescription of how to get rid of it. So what you will hear me say today is that dealing with anger is critical. You know, it must be taken seriously, that the promises of God include the ability to tame your temper. I'm hoping that today's sermon will give all of us the hope and help that we need. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. You know, all of us have moments of anger, but do you find anger to be a frequent companion? You know, is anger a person that you hang out with all the time? Are you known for your quick temper? Are you known for it? You know, there's always those, they got a Latin temper. You know, I don't think any of you guys are really Latin, but, you know, you always hear that, and it's like they're known for being quick. Do you live with long periods of time in a state of mad? You know, are you always just kind of mad? You know, let us all acknowledge that God has not designed us to live that way, and that we invite a lot of trouble if we do. So Solomon had a lot of things to say about anger in the Proverbs. And Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. So if we look at that proverb, you know, an angry man just stirs up a lot of trouble. You know, it goes on to say a hot-tempered man commits many sins. You know, our anger can cause us to sin against God. And if that's the case, you know, we got to make sure that we do something about it. So we can't consistently be angry people and reflect the character of Christ. You know, it's just not possible. If we're going to look like Jesus, then we need to learn to control and channel our anger. So today we're going to continue in James. I believe you're in a James series, correct? So I'm going to start from James 1:19. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So, you know, James says at the beginning here, you know, he says, understand this. If you look at other versions, he says something like, take note of this. And it's basically James is saying, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something real important here, so pay attention. It's like if you want to talk to your teenager and you want her to clean her room, you say, listen, I want to tell you something right now. Better clean your room before your father gets home or there's going to be trouble. You know, you say, listen up. You know, make sure you hear this because this is what's going to happen. You know, my mom would always say that. Listen, I'm going to go to the store. Your father will be home at 10 o'clock. Make sure your room is clean. You know, make sure this is done. And she's, listen, make sure you listen to this. And I'm not just, you know, just talking to hear myself talk. And, you know, that's basically what James is saying. You know, pay attention. I'm going to tell you something really important here. So it's not that James didn't say anything important before here. You know, there's a lot of great things that he said so far in the book of James. But basically, he wants to remind the readers, listen, this is something that could change your lives forever. Don't ignore this. So with good reason, because, you know, being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to being angry are attributes that matter a great deal in all of our everyday lives. Following these principles can avert a lot of trouble. It can accomplish more good in our own lives and in the lives of others. So the first thing it says is, be quick to listen and slow to speak, in verse 19. So what will help us do this? So the first thing I saw is to practice silence. Being silent means I'm listening to you. You know, listen and silent both have the same letters. Did you realize that? It's kind of cool. I don't know if that really means anything, but to me, it's kind of cool. So listen and silent both kind of have the same letters in it. practicing silence means I'm not thinking about what I'm going to come back at you with. You know, silence creates a lot of different things. So in my notes, I was going to sit here and just be quiet for two minutes, but I'm not going to do that to you guys right now. But, you know, when you're silent, it creates a lot of different things. I remember there was a video, there's a series called NUMA, the NUMA videos, and this guy did all these videos about different topics, and they were good. And I remember seeing one in college, and it was on silence. And we watched it, and I loved it. So I decided, hey, one youth group, I showed it to the kids a few years back, and it just basically shows us TV, and it's blaring. It's super loud, and all of a sudden it turns off, and the screen goes black. And basically it's just black for like 3 minutes. And basically I heard this, that the guy that made the video, he put out this article saying, hey, keep looking through it. Because people after a minute or so was like, that was it. I paid for this TV to go fuzzy, and then nothing happened. And these people couldn't stand the silence. They couldn't understand that there was more that was coming along. And if they would have just sat there in that silence and really just, you know, understood what was happening in it, you know, it could have helped them and helped change their lives. So the video is more talking about listening to God, but we can learn so much more from silence just from each other. You know, if I did those minutes of silence, it gets awkward. It gets real weird, honestly. If Vicky was here, she's the queen of, she hates silence. She'll have to say something or she'll be moving around. and she'll have to like say something, which is fine, but she just hates silence. And for me, I'm the kind of guy that just likes it. You know, I like to be able to sit there and think, you know, I can see what Tim's doing. I can see his mannerisms, the way he's sitting there, the way he's looking around. You know, you can sense how people are doing. You can sense a lot by observing. When I'm silent, I can see what's going on. I can see your mood. I can see everything that's going on. We live in an age where silence is really unheard of. You know, if you see teenagers nowadays, what are they always having? They got them earbuds. You know, you got the AirPods now. You know, they're always listening to something. They don't want to really just be still and just silent. You know, it drives them nuts. I know my sister, she's got to fall asleep with the TV on. You know, there's got to be some sort of noise on at all times. The TV's always going on. And if I were to go home and just shut off everything, she would go crazy. It's just the culture we live in nowadays. We all want to hear something. We feel like if we're just silent, you know, it's going to, you know, somehow drive us crazy. And, you know, silence can be something that is very important in our lives, and we need to practice it. So giving myself over to silence creates the opportunity to also silence my anger. In silence, my anger can be subdued. You know, if you feel like you're getting angry, sometimes it's good to just take that moment and just say, Lord, I'm going to just listen and just relax me at this point. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. You know why? Because we speak before we listen. We will say something we regret, and we will say something foolish. We'll make a judgment, and we will damage our witness. And I think that's one thing we don't really think about when it comes to anger. You know, a lot of times we can really damage our witness for Christ when we blow up in anger. And a perfect example of this is, I don't know, have you guys ever been in a church softball team? Anybody here? No, never had a softball team? We don't have one in Hudson Falls, but there was a softball team when I was growing up in the church I grew up in, from South Jersey. And, I got saved maybe my sophomore year of high school. And I started going to church, youth group. I loved it. I did everything that was possible. And they said, hey, you're young. You played baseball your life. You want to do church softball? I was like, yeah, sure. Church softball sounds like fun. I hang out with the guys of fellowship. We'll be together and it'll be a great time. So the one rule of church softball is you get one, this is what they called it. I know it's not how I made it. One token heathen player. And basically it means you get to have one person that's unsaved, doesn't go to your church. That person can come on your team. So basically you try to find the best softball player new around and be like, hey, come join my team. You know, you don't even have to know Christ. It'd be fun. And it was like, all right. So we had this one guy. He was nice. He was a nice guy. But he just wasn't saved. And basically, we played this one church one week, and it just got crazy, crazy. There was some sort of weird play at second base. I don't remember all the details because it was a long time ago, honestly. Some happened at second base, and it was like he was out, but he was called safe, and one of those situations. And this one guy comes out of the opposite dugout, and he just starts going nuts. He's crazy. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, it's their token heathen player. You know, he's unsaved. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing. And he's going nuts, going crazy, just so angry. So I'm like, all right, like, I don't know. So basically, after everyone comes back and it's the next inning, I'm like, who is that guy? I'm like, that's the pastor of that church. And I was like, for real? Like, seriously? And, but being a Christian, I kind of was like, all right, whatever. But if I was unsaved, I would see that and be like, wow, you know, that's their pastor, that guy that was so angry and just, you know, it just ruined his testimony for me. I don't know really who the guy was. I don't know his name. But if I ever saw him or went to his church, I'd have been like, I don't think I could listen to this guy. You know, just the way he presented himself and the way that he exemplified his life, you know, it wasn't Christ-like at all. And it's important that we realize that anger can really, you know, it can turn people on and off from the gospel. You know, if it's in our families, you know, in our works, wherever we are, you know, it's gonna speak volumes to people if they know that we're a Christian. So I encourage you, always be a great witness for the Lord. So if you're going to be quick to listen and slow to speak, we need to practice patience. So we need to practice patience, and we also need a desire to learn. So learning's fun, but how many of you guys are glad to be done with school? I know I am. I don't miss school. Hannah, you got a few more years. And if you go to college, a few more years after that. But, you know, we always have to have that desire. So being quick to listen and slow to speak shows that I'm willing to learn. It shows that I desire to gain knowledge, insight, and wisdom. God gave us two ears and one mouth that we would listen twice as much as we speak. However, for some of us, our mouth is open twice as much as our ears are. So, you know, I think because of that, you know, I've always heard that statement. You know, you got two ears. It's like, all right, I understand. And, you know, I think that's why I love Pastor Bill so much. I was thinking about this while I was writing this. And he's definitely a guy that, you know that he's listening to you. He's not quick to be like, that's what you got to do. You know, he's always listening. He's trying to be in tune with God, and he wants to learn about the situation before he gives advice. And I appreciate that about him, to really care about us so much that he wants to be able to give us the best biblical advice that he can. So we have the tendency to get caught up in wanting to show people how much we know sometimes. I'm sure you can all think of someone like this right now in your head, someone that knows it all and they're just ready to just give you the answer. You know, this is what you got to do. This is what's going on. It's not necessarily a good thing. We're too quick to share our ideas, opinions, and beliefs, and sometimes with only a limited knowledge of what the subject really is. When we do that, we risk speaking untruths and potentially misleading someone. It can get really dangerous when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the Word. If you ever hear someone say, well, I think this means, you know, take that with a grain of salt. You know, if they say, hey, you know, the Bible says this, say, all right, you know, this guy knows what he's researched. He knows what God has to say about this. And when we start going on our own knowledge, that's when we get in trouble. You know, we need to have a desire to learn the Bible so we can help people, but also want to learn what the situation's going on so that we can, you know, help people in that way as well. And it helps us to not be as angry when we know the whole truth. So firstly, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And secondly, it says we need to be slow to anger. So what will help us be slow to anger? So practicing the former will accomplish the latter. So I can't be quick-tempered and quick to listen at the same time. You know, it just doesn't work. I can't be quick-tempered and slow to speak at the same time. If I am a quick-tempered person, then it shows that I'm not willing to listen. If I'm quick-tempered, then I will also be quick to speak. And if my tongue wags when my anger flares, I'm in trouble. But interestingly, if instead we would be quick to hear and slow to speak, that would be, you know, causing us to be less angry. If we were quick to hear and slow to speak, we would automatically be slow to anger. So we see that practicing one often takes care of the other. One of the reasons for this is that upon listening to someone or watching a situation unfold, we learn something that resolves the anger that was stirring up inside of us. The person says something that gives us understanding. The situation goes on and it suddenly takes a turn for the better. And because we are patient and slow to speak and quick to listen and also be quick to observe and slow to react, we see our anger appeased in the outcome. So being quick to listen and slow to speak will result in being slow to angry. You know, I kind of call this the jump into conclusions trap. You know, there's a lot of times we'll hear something and we'll just jump real fast and say, that's what they're saying. And it gets you a little hot in the moment. But you got to let them get their whole thought out before you actually jump on it. It's like if I came here and said, you know, when it comes to Bolton Landing, you know, I could go a million directions. I could say it's a small little town. I just hate it. You know, it snows all the time. Or I could say, you know, Bolton Landing is a great town. I was down there last night and had a wonderful meal at Frederick's, and it's just a great place to be. You know, the Bolton Chamber of Commerce, it's a beautiful place. You know, I went there once. It was nice. You know, we need to be able to make sure that people know what we're going to say. You know, don't just always jump real fast to conclusions. I think as, you know, couples, if you're in relationships with families, it's easy sometimes to just think you know what the other person's thinking, and it's easy to jump to conclusions with it. So always be quick to listen. You know, always listen. Communication is the key to any relationship, you know, and that means listening. You know, communication goes both ways. So make sure you listen to what people have to say. So practice being slow to speak. The next thing is the art of restraint. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. So being slow to speak and slow to anger means we need to learn the art of restraint. Because if we don't learn the art of restraint, there are going to be serious consequences. So unfortunately, again, in culture, you know, we don't like silence. The other thing is we don't like to be restrained. You know, we're in a culture nowadays where it's, if you want it, go get it. You know, if you think it's good for you, go do it. It's like credit cards. You know, well, my car, you know, I got this, I don't really know what year it is, 92 Toyota Corolla. It's not the greatest car in the world, but it gets me around. It makes my family, you know, we do fine. And, you know, in a culture that says, you know, who cares? You know, go get a new car, get something bigger, get something better. You know, I got crank windows. You know, Hannah might not even, have you ever done a crank window? You have? All right. So some people, they don't even know about it. Some youth will get in my car and they're like, where's your buttons? You know, how do you lock it? And I'm like, you push it down, you lift the thing up. And, you know, in a culture nowadays, it's, you gotta get the newest thing, you gotta get the best thing, you gotta just get what you can get, and, you know, don't worry about the consequences till later. And that's why credit card debt is so huge. Things like that are just, skyrocketing. You know, we don't live in a world of restraint. You know, for me, it's paid off. I don't have to pay. My insurance payment is like a few hundred a year. Like, it's good. But, you know, we need to have some sort of restraint sometimes. Proverbs 14:17 says that a quick-tempered man does foolish things. Now, people who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. And these consequences are not just for us, but also for those who are on the receiving end of our anger. And I think a lot of times we don't really think about the victims of anger. And a lot of times, you know, we can just think, wow, I just blew up. That was bad. But, you know, those ramifications can affect others for a long time. people that witness it, you know, maybe your spouse, your children, you know, it definitely pays a toll. A lady once came to Billy Sunday and tried to rationalize her anger outburst. She said, "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up and then it's all over." And Billy Sunday replied, he said, "So does a shotgun. You know, look at the damage it leaves." And it's kind of the same with anger. You know, we can say, "Wow, I just had a bad moment. It's over. It's done with." But, you know, it can be like a shotgun. You know, it has lasting effects and it can cause a lot of damage. So we need to make sure that we're careful with our words, careful with the way that we come about with people. For some, once the anger switch is flipped, all bets are off. Anything can happen. Proverbs 17:14 says, "Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out." And it's true. You know, if a dam breaks, it causes a lot of damage. So we need to be careful with what we do. There's a story back in 2000, a guy named Michael Costin. He was a 41-year-old single father of four. He was beaten to death in front of his own children at a hockey rink in Reading, Massachusetts. The man who attacked him was reportedly angry because Costin had refused to intervene in a youth hockey game that he thought was getting too physical. So basically, if you look at the story, it's sad. You know, the guy thought that the kids were getting too physical on the court and he got angry. So, you know, in his rage, he went and beat this guy to death. In Atlanta, Georgia, a 2-year-old toddler was shot through the neck by an irate motorist engaged in an argument over a road incident with the toddler's father. Being quick to anger, you know, it can lead to out of control anger, which can lead to death. So if we're going to save a world of hurt, you know, we need to learn the art of restraint. You know, these people died for no reason, honestly. You know, it's just little misunderstandings, different things that happened. And, you know, we need to work on our communication. You know, if that guy would have just sat in silence for a second and said, "What am I angry about? You know, what's going on? What am I doing?" You know, it could have made a world of difference. So practice the art of restraint. And then we need to understand that man's anger is unrighteous. So man's anger does not bring about, it does not practice, it does not produce the righteousness that God requires. So verse 20, it said, "Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires." Okay? So there is a man's anger and there is God's anger. So, you know, there's righteous anger, which is like the story when Jesus went into the temple and he saw them making money and they were taking advantage of people for their offerings. So he flipped the tables and he got angry. And a lot of times people are like, Jesus was angry? It's like, yeah, he was angry. You know, anger is all right. You know, that was a righteous anger. You know, he was angry because people were taking advantage of God's people. In those days, you couldn't bring your own offering to the temple. You would have to buy it in the temple courts. And basically, they only took a certain type of money. So it's like if I had my own type of money and I said, "Hey, if you guys want to come up here and buy this, you know, goat, you got to change your money over, buy it for me from that special currency I have." And basically, the exchange rate for that they had, it was like triple the cost. And they were just taking advantage of people and just using them. And, you know, Jesus had a righteous anger because of that. And, you know, there's also an unrighteous anger. You know, it's kind of like if you're in the parking lot, and especially around Christmas time, you're at the mall and you're looking for a spot. There it is. It's right in the front. You got your blinker on. You're waiting for it to come out. And then, boom, someone steals it. That's happened to me a lot of times. And, you know, you can sit there and be like, "That was my spot." Was it really your spot? It's just a parking spot. You know, that's an unrighteous anger. You know, it's not affecting God's people. It's not about God. You know, it's just a human. It's a man. It's a human type anger. So sometimes these can be confused. I can think my anger is righteous when it's really not. You know, worrying about a parking spot, it's not a righteous anger. You know, it's nothing to be angry about. Or I might be righteously angry over something, but have an unrighteous response to it. That really making it an angry, unrighteous indeed. It's like when you look at human trafficking, you know, is that something that, you know, angers God? Oh, you know it does. But if I took it upon myself to go find someone that did it and just beat them up, yeah, that's, I took that righteous act but made it an unrighteous act. And we need to realize that there's certain ways to deal with things in a righteous way as well. we notice that when James distinctly says man's anger, we realize that not all anger is sin. You know, we notice that, you know, James said, you know, be slow to anger, not don't ever be angry. You know, anger is okay. You know, man's anger is quickly aroused when God's is not. Psalms 86:15 says, but you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. So man's anger does not abound in love. You know, God's always abounds in love. You know, even in his anger, if our anger is out of love for good, then it's righteous. You know, because, you know, becoming angry at sin is a righteous anger. Being angry over the injustices and hatred against others is righteous. Being angry when someone speaks against God is righteous. However, we can have an unrighteous response to a righteous anger. So when we have human responses to our godly anger, like taking matters in our own hands, we sin in our anger. So we need to make sure that we understand that, you know, man's anger is unrighteous. We need to have a anger that would please God. So the third thing is we need to do some weeding. If you look at verse 21, it says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So the first thing we need to do is dig and expose. So if I'm going to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, I need to do some weeding. In order to get rid of the filth and evil, I need to do some digging. It involves me taking a look at me. You know, I need to see what's going on in my life that needs to be taken care of. You know, when I'm quick to anger, am I looking at me? No, I'm not looking at me at all. I'm looking at the person or whatever I'm angry at. You know, I'm not responsible for my anger. You are. You know, James is challenging us to take a look at ourselves. He's telling me the problem isn't out there. It's in here. You know, it's within us. If we're serious about being slow to anger, then we need to be serious about getting rid of the things in our life that tempt us to compromise our restraints. We see here that what fuels our anger isn't so much about a singular act or another incident. You know, it's something else that's inciting us to anger. It is the immorality already in our lives, the evil that is already there. Like when James said in verse 14, that it wasn't outside sources that were to blame for our sin because the evil desires are already within us. You know, likewise, we are more apt to become quickly angered. It can't be attributed to outside sources. It is due to something that's already within us. Both in our evil desires and our tendencies to be quick-tempered, we need to look within to find the source. So what's already going on deep inside of us to incite us to anger? We got to think about that. I read this week and I shared it with a few people, honestly. It's an acronym and it says a hen. So not the chicken, but a hen, okay? A-H-E-N, okay? So basically, if you look at this acronym, it kind of says that anger, you know, anger is caused by a hurt, which is the H. And a hurt is caused by an expectation. And if you look at that expectation, usually that comes from a need. A need. So basically, if you look at any kind of response and anger, you can kind of trace it back down through that hen. You know, if you think about someone being angry, it's usually because they're hurt. You know, no one just comes out in anger out of no reason. You know, they usually are angry because they're hurt in some way. And then if you look at that hurt, it usually comes from an expectation that they had. You know, maybe someone didn't do what they said, or, you know, something didn't go the way they thought. You know, that expectation is what causes that hurt. And basically, you get that expectation from a need in your life. You know, if you need something, you know, all of us need certain things in life. It's like if I want love, you know, if I don't express that to Vicky, you know, and she doesn't show me any love that day, you know, that's going to cause me to be hurt. And then I'm going to act out in anger in some way. So, you know, I really like that an acronym because it really helps to kind of show where anger comes from. You know, it comes from different things. It doesn't just show up, bam, you're just an angry person. You know, there's things that cause us to slowly become that way. So we need to start digging and find out why we might have that anger in our lives. So these are the deep-rooted issues that can ignite a quick, explosive anger. And then the second thing is we have to put bad out and good in. So it's basically a pretty common Christian principle. You know, don't listen to bad things. You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know, don't let bad stuff in, but get rid of the bad stuff and put the good stuff in. So part of evil's deterioration in our lives is its ability to cloud our judgment when it comes to correctly accepting, discerning, and applying the truth. You know, James wants us, fellow believers, to cast off all that entangles us, all that is keeping us stuck, angry, prideful, and accept the truth that is planted in them. Barclay's commentary on chapter 1:21 says that the word used for filth has an interesting connection. It is a derivative of the Greek word rupos, which, when used in the medical sense, means earwax. Okay? So when you look at that word filth there, it basically in the Greek, when you look at it in the medical terms, it means wax in the ear. Okay? So when you think about it, it's like get rid of all the wax in your ear. You know, that's get rid of that filth. And James would be telling his readers to get rid of everything which would stop their ears from being able to hear God. You know, as the gathering of wax causes one to not hear, so the gathering of one's sin causes them not to hear God. And I like the way that that analogy kind of works because, you know, if we kept leaving that sin, we just keep letting those things get in there, and we, you know, eventually we're not going to be able to hear God anymore. You know, we don't hear the Holy Spirit whispering to us. We don't hear, you know, what God wants us to do. And we need to make sure to get rid of all that filth, you know, get rid of that wax, get a Q-tip and clean it out. You know, we are called to get rid of the weeds, and we must then put something else in its place. So, Colossians 3, you know, we need to get rid of the wax so that we can hear. And Colossians 3, 5 through 10 says, "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger." So now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. "Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." So basically, that's kind of like the wax in your life, you know, Colossians is saying here. You know, it's the anger, the rage, the malicious behavior, all those things that he just listed is like the wax in our ears. And then he goes on in chapter 12 and 15 and says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderness, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." So if I become clothed in these spiritual attributes, if I let these principles rule in my heart, then I will be slow to anger. You know, if we, you know, take what Colossians here, you know, all those things that he listed, kindness, humility, gentleness, mercy, patience. You know, if we take all of those, you know, that's going to help us to not be angry. You know, we need to take that filth, that ear, that wax that's in our ears and change it from malice and anger and change it to all those positive attributes. And that'll help us. And, you know, we also need to be humbly accept the word. If we are humble, we will not only hear, but also accept what God is saying to us. You know, James was presenting some harsh reality. He said we need to consider it pure joy when we're facing trials. He presented the truth that God was not to blame for our sins. James said that persistence in sin would lead to death. This can be hard to accept and agree with. However, we need to be quick to listen to the truth, slow to speak in response to the truth, and not quick to be angry about the truth, so we can humbly accept the truth of God's word that gets planted in us. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden my word in your heart that I might not sin against you." So we need to make sure that when it comes to the filth in our lives, like James said, we need to take that word of God and plant it in our hearts. It says that it has the power to save us. And, I think that's one thing that helps us with our anger. If we took the word of God, if we took the Bible and we memorized it, we held it within us, and whenever we got angry, when those verses come to us, that's going to calm us down. That's going to make us say, the Lord's got bigger plans for me than this. I don't need to explode on this person. That person just cut me off. I think a lot of our rage comes from driving, honestly, for a lot of people. And we need to realize, hey, some people just can't drive. It's okay. But not be angry about it. In my life, like I said, it's not my Achilles heel anger. But when I do get angry, it helps me to remember, that person's a child of God. Every person is a child of God. And, we might look at them with anger and disgust in that moment. But you got to know that God loves them just as much as he loves me. And none of us are better. None of us are worse. God loves us all with everything that he has. So, we gotta look to that word and, make sure that it blooms in our hearts and our lives, because it does have the power to save us. So, being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry involves things like patience, wisdom, and love. So much harm is caused by the reverse of these things. So, when we leave here today, I just encourage you guys, be an example of peace and harmony by following these principles. We can be angry about a lot of things, and I'm sure there's a lot of good reasons to have anger towards people in our lives. But just remember, God doesn't want that for us. That anger is just gonna, breed something that we don't need, we don't want. And God's got such a better plan for all of us if we just learn to love and be quick to listen and slow to speak. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for these words in James, Lord. I just pray that we wouldn't just hear it and just let it go out one ear. I pray that we would really look at it and, examine our hearts, Lord. I pray that if we have issues with anger, Lord, that we would, want to take appropriate ways to try to get rid of them, Lord. I pray that we would examine our own hearts, why we have these anger issues, why we just don't give it all to you. And Lord, I just pray that we would know that it's not an easy path and that we can do this with you, though. And I just pray today, God, that you would just lead us to be peaceful, loving people so that it doesn't affect our witness, that we'd be able to just show people your love. And I pray that would bring them closer to you and come to know who you are. So Lord, I just thank you for everyone here. I thank you for their love here for this church. I pray a special prayer for Pastor Bill and Lisa right now. As they're away, you give them a time of just relaxation and just a fresh anointing on their lives, Lord. Let them come back refreshed and just excited to preach your word and to see Bolton Land to become just a great place to just learn about God and a place to just fall in love with you. So, Lord, I just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.